You're listening to Marketplace Weekend from APM. I'm Lizzie O'Leary. We just heard from a listener who's in a gap in his financial life. And we wondered, how about the rest of you? Have you had any spaces like that? A lot of you said you needed money before school, or maybe were unemployed for a while.
For about 2 years, I stayed home.
It was, yeah. It was very tough because I was used to having a certain level of income.
I'd rather be busy than have the gap time, so.
Well, I practiced architecture for over 30 years and my own practice, and it went down in the recession.
I got fired.
Yeah, I've been laid off twice.
How would we get pretty bored if there was a gap?
I read voraciously.
A lot of instant noodles.
I did some small projects, but...
canned foods, but I try to stay healthy,
you know, because I just learned to live with less.
I learned a lot.
Overall, it's been a very humbling experience.
I'm joined now by Lisa King and Ellen Rogan, financial experts and authors of Picture Your Prosperity. Welcome to Marketplace Weekend.
Thank you. Hi, this is Ellen.
And hi, this is Lisa.
We were listening to those voices of people who had a gap in their financial lives or didn't, maybe some who wanted one. What do you do to sort of shore yourself up against the unexpected?
One thing that you can do is set up what we call a solutions fund. So instead of an emergency reserve, which has all this like scary connotation to it, if you can set up a pool of money, it can be in a savings account or a money market account, that is there for you when something unexpected comes up. And it could be an unexpected opportunity. It doesn't necessarily have to be an unexpected job loss or something bad. That's one great way to reduce stress level and help you move ahead when something when a gap shows up in your life.
I got to tell you guys, though, you know, a few years ago, I got sick. I lost my job. And it was terrifying. And I think it would have taken me a lot to try to do the things that you're talking about. It sounds really hard.
It is hard. I mean, I think in situations like that, and this is Lisa, it's really tempting to want to resort to a pint of or two or 10 of Ben and Jerry's and, you know.
And wallow.
Exactly. It's by no means easy for any of us. And yet, just like other areas of our life, when things are not going as planned or as we would like, the same things that can help us in other areas can help us with financial resilience. So, for example, taking the time to meditate. Again, I know that that sounds silly, like, gosh, you know, I've lost my job. I don't know how I'm going to get.
And this lady's telling me to meditate.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. We understand. But if you just try taking the few seconds to just take a breath to modulate your breathing can help you calm down. So it's those basics that we return to even on this topic.
It seems to me like a lot of this is caught up in our sense of identity and who we are. We listen to people sort of talk about how it took them a while and it was scary and they didn't know what to do. Have you found that people's pictures change of maybe what they think they're aiming for and then who they discover they are?
To really figure out what is most important to you is actually to create a prosperity picture for yourself. And this is a visual depiction of what you most want to accomplish out of your life. Literally a visual depiction using pictures. I mean, right in the book, we start with 32 pictures, but you could use anything from a magazine or actual pictures to start to envision what you most want to see happen for yourself. And then they're put in a frame based on how soon you want them and how much money it would take. And having this framework really allows you to start to live what you most want to have happen. And that way, when a gap does come about, you're better able to navigate that.
Are there, you know, tricks to not blowing through that solutions fund or budget, if you're using the other word?
There are. This is Lisa. We think that, again, going to this idea of values-based spending is what's really important. And we heard some of that in the interviews earlier. You know, we actually have a great example in the book of a woman who, when her kids left home, realized that her house was not nearly as important to her as it had been before. And she was working at a job that she frankly didn't like so well, and it was stressing her out. She was running up credit card debt because she was spending on things like elaborate vacations to kind of placate herself because she was unhappy at work. And she realized that as she was looking at her spending, that her house consumed so much of her monthly budget and that she wasn't really getting any joy out of it. So she made an unusual decision that most people wouldn't necessarily think about, that maybe her house wasn't a fixed expense. Maybe she didn't really need this big house. So she made a big decision to downsize, go to a condo that was much more affordable, was able to get a different job because she didn't have the big expense, and really turned her life around. And when you're in a situation like, you know, a gap that you haven't necessarily voluntarily signed up for, you can still apply that same approach.
How do you do that if you're on a very small income?
For me, living in downtown Chicago, my parking costs can be astronomical because I don't allow myself enough time to park on the street or take public transportation. I can drive, and that ends up costing, you know, $60 over the course of a weekend to park my car easily. So looking at even small decisions over time can really add up. The beauty of compound interest.
Lisa King and Ellen Rogan, authors of Picture Your Prosperity, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you.